Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. A bigwig in the city of Kenner got himself arrested. James Muhammad, he's the code enforcement director. He's the guy in charge of permits and such for the city of Kenner. He was just arrested yesterday morning, charged with bribery, in some trouble. And he also did some work for the city of New Orleans in the same department. And, you know, that's a very important job. I remember when I owned a bar in a restaurant in Miami Beach. And I remember trying to get the place open. And you had to go through the code enforcement. And I remember we were ready to open for a while. We had to deal with the city of Miami Beach. And I remember this guy came in and he looked over the place and he said, "Well, you gotta do this, you gotta do that." And we had to make sure we were all up to par when it came to code enforcement, when it came to all of our permits and such. And he had come back and he said, "Well, you need to do this." And we thought we had done everything. And I remember one time he came in, he went into the bathroom of our restaurant and he came out and he said, "Yeah, you're off by a couple of inches over here. Come in here." And we went into the bathroom and we had to move the toilet a couple of inches. It was very strange. And I think after the third or fourth time he came back, one of my friends who was in business with me, he said, "I think we have to bribe him." I said, "What do you mean? We just offer them money to give us our permit to open?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, "Because he's making you do all of these different little things over here to get up to code enforcement." And I said, "My luck. I'll offer him money. I'll do it wrong, and he's gonna call the cops on me and get me busted for bribery." Well, sure enough, the next time he came in, we were ready to go, but it ended up being a few extra weeks after we were ready to open. And when you've got a business and you've spent money to get it ready to go, every day that goes by costs you money. Every day that you're not open, that you're not serving food, selling food, selling alcohol, and we finally got open, but
without having to bribe them.
We didn't have to bribe them, but I basically said, "I mean, this is like the third or fourth time you've come in. We've done everything you've said. What do we need to do? And we finally got open. And I saw this story yesterday in Kenner with their code enforcement director getting arrested for bribery, taking bribes, kickbacks. And it reminded me of when I owned my bar and restaurant in Miami Beach for a couple of years.
Every time I hear stories about this or stories like this, it makes me wonder how many people out there that are in like code enforcement or any form of, state government or city government that are actually getting away with this, and we just don't catch them or we just don't hear about it because they got in, did the job, and got out.
Well, this guy Coleman, James Muhammad, he's responsible for building permits, inspections, code enforcement, for getting buildings and businesses opened up. He was arrested and he was indicted. And like I say, he also did some work with the city of New Orleans as well. And he's in all kinds of trouble. The indictment says that, again, bribery. And, you know, you'd be surprised. That thing with the toilet, it was so handicapped people could use the bathroom, and we had to move the toilet down, and it was all, we were fine, and he was just making our life, personally, going back to my experience, he was just making our life a little bit crazier than it needed to be. So anyway, but now, over in the city of Kenner, they're going to have to find someone else to help out businesses and to deal with permits and making sure everything is up to code, everything is up to inspection when things want to open up. That's what happens when...
Well, John, you're a decent guy, and you seem to have a negative experience with the Miami Beach code enforcement. So maybe you should go in and show them how it's done and how it should be. You know, maybe you should go into the code enforcement at Kenner, and that way they have a friendly face, somebody who knows how horrible code enforcement can be, and make the experience better for other business owners. Throw your hat in the name in a hat.
Well, I already have a job.
Oh, okay.
I do a radio show weekday mornings here in the city, Coleman, But a top Kenner city official yesterday charged in federal court with conspiracy to commit bribery with using the city of New Orleans online construction permitting system. So I guess that's there's a couple of jobs that are open. I mean, he's already got his job with the city of Kenner code enforcement. And now the city of New Orleans, who hired out for this, is gonna need to find someone else to help them as well. It just sucks when you see someone who works in government. There's someone who's paid for by taxpayer dollars, people who live in Kenner. Shady on the take and stuff we don't need.
Do you think whether it's the residents of New Orleans or people in Kenner or just anyone who lives in the United States in general, do you think we just assume now that everybody involved in politics or everybody involved in being a city official is somehow crooked? Are we just at that point now where it doesn't even matter to us anymore? Because it's more like it's expected. You tell the story, oh, this guy in Kenner, he worked in the code enforcement, he took bribes, and people are like, yeah, that's typical. That's what a politician does. That's what a government employee does. Are we at that level now where it's just, that's just how things are, and we've just come to accept it?
Well, it kind of sucks that that's the case. But obviously you would think that all of these people that work for government, no matter where in the government they work, we hope and we expect them to be honest. And we think most of them, that's how they start their jobs, and they don't go into it saying, oh, I can't wait to get this job. Boy, I'm going to make so much money being a crook. But at somewhere along the line, once they do get the job, Coleman, that things happen and they realize, wow, we could make a lot of money being crooks, extra money than we already make from the taxpayer paid salary we get. And then things happen. Once they get in there, they see, wow, this is how it works. And it kind of sucks, but good to see somebody caught him.
Yeah.
And now there's a...
I wonder if he's going to try to bribe somebody now that he's caught.
Well.
Hey, look, I didn't get caught. I ditched you some money to the side and we can make this all go away. He'll try to bribe the judge or something.
Well, Kenna's looking for a new code enforcement director. Because Ayers is arrested for a conspiracy to commit bribery. It just sucks. We have a lot to do on the show this morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show, New Orleans' morning radio show. And we talked about this story yesterday on the show. There's a bit of an update. This past Saturday night, there was a birthday party for a 12-year-old girl in La Place. And 9 people were shot. There were 9 people injured. 2 youngsters started shooting at each other. And yesterday on the show, we just wondered who in God's name would start shooting at a 12-year-old girl's birthday party. Well, come to find out, we have a few more details on the story, but we still don't know that much because authorities say there were more than 60 people at that party. There were anywhere in between 50 and 100 people at that party. And nobody is talking. Nobody is saying anything. As a matter of fact, Coleman, when I watched this story on the local news, one of the local news channels last night on the 5 o'clock news. They interviewed, I guess, the 12-year-old's mother at the house in LaPlace. She didn't want her name given, and she didn't want her face being shown on television. Imagine being so afraid of attendees at a 12-year-old birthday party that you want to be anonymous.
What's the point of doing an interview then if you don't want your face and your name on the television? Just deny the entire interview altogether, right?
Well, you see that a lot around New Orleans when there's 'cause in New Orleans here in this city, people get shot every day. We're one of the very few places on the planet where that happens. But when you see people being interviewed in New Orleans about shootings, you see that a lot. You hear their voice, but you don't see their face because they'll talk to the media only if they're anonymous because they're afraid that if they talk to the media and the shooters or people who know the shooters see that, then they're going to be next. Well, and they don't want to get shot.
In this particular instance, if we know that this is the mother of the girl that the party was for, the shooters obviously know where she lives because they were at the party. So my theory is I believe that she wanted to be anonymous because she knew she was violating coronavirus standards by having 60 to 100 people at her party, and she didn't want her job to know that she had that many. That's what I think. It was more the COVID restrictions than the actual retaliation for the shootings, because the people who were shooting were at the house. They know where she lived. They were at the party.
Yeah, but Coleman, a couple of weeks ago, our governor, John Taco Bell Edwards, lifted most of the coronavirus restrictions.
True, but 60 to 100 people, I don't think that was standard, but it could be either or both. It could. Because the shooters, like I said, the shooting took place at her home. This was the woman. So it's not like, you know, if the shooter saw the news, they wouldn't be able to figure out who she is.
Well, all of the victims who were shot were in between the ages of 12 and 17. According to the St. John the Baptist Parish Sheriff's Office, two youngsters, we don't know exactly how old, two youngsters got into an argument and they pulled out guns and started shooting at each other. And this is what, nine people end up getting shot. Again, a 12-year-old girl's birthday party.
So yesterday we thought it was just one shooter that just happened to shoot the people. Now we know it's two different people shooting at each other.
That's the latest, and that's really all they know. And they say no one is talking. Remember, this is a 12-year-old girl's birthday party. Children are the most honest people going. The police can't get one of these children to say who's doing the shooting. They can't get one. They can't even get the mother to put her face on television or her name in the media because she's afraid.
Well, let's ask this. Is it beyond reason to say now that these parents do not want to reveal the identity of the shooter that they can be accountable for child endangerment? Because if these children were at a party where guns were being fired and the parents know something and they don't want to reveal anything, could you say, well, you're putting your children in danger now by not letting us find out who these shooters are, and you're putting your child at risk? That can be child endangerment. Or am I reaching?
No, all I can think about are my parents, what I would do. And, my mother, I know there was a different time when I was 12 years old, different place. Be damn sure that she'd find out who the hell was doing the shooting, and she'd be telling the cops, this is who's doing the shooting. if this was at my 12-year-old birthday party. But so far they haven't gotten one of these kids to say anything. But hopefully we'll know soon. You can't have somebody, two people, just opening fire at a 12-year-old birthday party and not be accounted for. They have to be identified. You can't have them running around La Place or wherever the hell they live if this is what they do at a 12-year-old birthday party. I mean, if they're just gonna start shooting at a birthday party like this, what else are they capable of?
Unless they're trying to handle it in-house, maybe they don't want law enforcement involved. Maybe they want justice their own way, sort of like the mafia does it, you know? Who knows?
Well, none of the injuries were life-threatening, thank God. And everybody who was shot, everybody who was injured, that birthday party is expected to be all right. Other than that, though, I heard it was a nice birthday party. I heard the birthday cake was really good. But other than the nine people getting shot,
I'd be so frustrated if my child attended that party and nobody wants to say anything. Like, let's say I drop my kid off and I found out that there was a shooting, and I go pick my kid up and find out that no other parent that I dropped my kid off to wants to say anything about anything. Like, I wouldn't want to hang out with those parents anymore.
Well, this is the exact reason why that cliche is so popular. Snitches get stitches. Even at a 12-year-old birthday party, the kids.
I would ask the neighbors for a doorbell camera or something. Was the garage door open? Anything? Like, anything?
And, you know, this is a message that needs to be sent to all of those kids. You can't be getting away with this. As of right now, today's Tuesday. This happened on Saturday. So we've had a few days go by. And the shooters have not been named yet. They've not. What kind of message does this send to all of those kids that were at that party?
Elena says maybe it was one of their children shooting. But even if that was the case, why would they do an interview on the news if their kid was the one doing the shooting? Like, why would the parent of the 12-year-old girl?
It might have been a brother or a, who knows? Hey, we appreciate the texts. If you'd like, keep them coming in, 504-260-9595. That's the latest on that story. Hang out with us. We have a lot to get to. Something happened at a girls' high school basketball game that is unbelievable. We're gonna tell you about that story coming up on the show here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Today is April 20th, 420. It's the marijuana holiday.
Smoke weed every day.
In reaction to the coronavirus, doctors and the CDC are urging pot smokers to disinfect their bongs between hits. Well, make sure you take care of that out there. And happy 420 here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show, New Orleans morning radio show. One of the problems here in the city of New Orleans is blighted property, blighted lots. If you drive around some different neighborhoods, you can see it. And City Hall, the idiot box, has made an offer to New Orleans residents that they are listing more than 100 vacant lots that people can mow to own. Meaning if people clean up the lot and maintain the lot, cut the grass, mow the grass for 1 year, they got to do that for 1 year. Then they can buy that lot for the assessed value.
See, not every-
what they're looking at, Coleman, are basically the people who live next door across the street from these vacant lots. And a lot of these vacant lots, they're in, a lot of them are in pretty rough neighborhoods.
Yeah. Wouldn't it make more sense to allow people to buy the lot at the assessed price and have them keep it up, or do they have to keep it up? See, it seems like it's more work to do something for an entire year than have the option to buy, when you should just be able to buy. And since you bought it, you have an invested interest to keep it up because now you own it and you want to keep it fresh and neat.
Well, look, the city of New Orleans owns these lots, these blighted lots. And so, yeah, you would think, why can't people just go to the city of New Orleans and say, hey, what's this assessed at now? Let me buy it from you. But they're not doing it that way.
And that seems like the government is taking advantage of people. Now you have the government getting people the incentive to clean up the government's property, just so that's like telling me, hey, I want to sell you this car, but you have to wash it for a year first. You get what I mean? Like, why would you make me do something? Why would you make me do the work so you can increase the property value and the neatness, then sell it to me? That's why it doesn't make sense to me. It's like you're making me own it before I actually own it, in other words.
Well, yeah, they want you to take care of it for 1 year. And then after 1 year of you cutting the grass at the lot, then you can go in and you can buy it.
It doesn't make sense. I have a car dealership and I say, hey, if you want to buy these cars, come wash these cars, come clean these cars, come vacuum these cars out. And if you can do that for 1 year, then I would sell you the car. Like, that's why it doesn't make sense to me. They should just let you buy the property.
Well, I don't know if that analogy is right, Coleman.
That's what it seems like to me.
Because a car, you can just drive it right now. There's a lot. There's no house. And if the only things on these lots are blighted properties, but the city of New Orleans, they want you to. If you're listening, what do you think about this? They say, quote, the program offers neighbors who own property adjacent to a blighted lot, the opportunity to apply to take care of and eventually purchase such vacant lots. Our tax cheat of a mayor, Letaxa Cantrell, says, this is another tool to fight blight and build transferable wealth for residents in their neighborhood. Further, this program is a win-win for the city of New Orleans because it helps remove eyesore properties that reduce residents' quality of life, as well as reducing the resources the city needs to maintain.
I believe that part, yes.
Blighted
lots. It does reduce the...
New Orleans residents who qualify must agree to maintain the property for at least 1 year, then pay for the lot's assessed value.
Well, this text says, I promise you it's a trap. Old Letaxa is pulling another money stunt. They'll renege on it. Never trust a New Orleans politician.
He's an optimist listening to the show this morning.
So think about it. You have to keep up with something for a year without, they're not paying you to do it. They're giving you the option to do it. Hey, come clean this property up. Come maintain the property, mow the lawn, keep up with it for 1 year for free. Then we'll sell it to you, meaning now you got to come up with the money to pay for it after you didn't took care of their property for 1 year. Like, that doesn't seem right. I don't know why I can't put my finger on it. I'm not an economist. I'm not a realtor. I don't know how these things work with the intricacies of it, but it just doesn't seem right on the surface to have somebody else take care of something, then sell it to them after they took care of it. Like, I'll walk your dog, then you're going to give me the dog after I walk it for a year and feed it and take care of it. Then they say, all right, now you can have the dog since you took great care of it.
Well, slow down. The city, Coleman, will deduct $875 from the total cost of the purchase because that's how much they say it costs to maintain the lot for 1 year. So the city will deduct $875 from the total cost of the purchase. That deduction represents the cost of maintaining the lot for the year.
Ooh, this is a good one. If it's their property and you get hurt cutting the grass, what happens? I would assume they make you sign a waiver or something that if you take care of these blighted properties and you step on a rusty nail or you get hurt cutting the grass and maintaining it, that, hey, you signed the waiver. We're not responsible for you hurting yourself while you're trying to acquire this property.
Yeah, the city of New Orleans, which is financially cash-strapped, they're broke as always, especially because of coronavirus. They'd probably make you sign something that said, don't get hurt. Or they'll just tell you, hey, while you're maintaining that lot, don't get hurt.
And a lot of people are saying what I'm saying. Wouldn't that increase the value of the property? It seems shady to me. That's McChip says that.
Well, they obviously have over 100 blighted properties that they're having a tough time. They can't move. They can't get rid of them. So they're thinking this is the best way that they can come up with for right now to get rid of these lots. And again, a lot of these are in pretty rough neighborhoods here in the city of New Orleans. Text us. What do you think about this? 504-260-9595. Please don't text while you're driving. Keep it short. If it's good, we'll read it coming up next on the show as City Hall, the idiot box here in New Orleans, has listed more than 100 vacant lots that neighbors can now mow to own. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show, New Orleans morning radio show. If you're just joining us, we were talking about something that City Hall, I've always called the idiot box. You've seen the building, City Hall in New Orleans. It's a large box. That's why I've always called it the idiot box. But they're listing more than 100 vacant lots that the city now owns. They're listing them to be bought by people who live next door to those lots. And there, again, there's over 100 of them, and many of these are in rough neighborhoods here in the city of New Orleans. And we know that blighted property is a problem here in the city. So the city, they're thinking outside of the idiot box by taking over 100 of these vacant lots that they now own, and they're making them available to people who live next door to those lots. But the people have to maintain the property for 1 year first. They have to cut the grass. They're calling this mow to own. And if someone has a blighted lot next door to them, the city says, look, you can buy that lot next door to you. It'll be a really good price, but you got to take care of it, the lot. You got to cut the grass for a year. And then when that year's up, whatever the tax assessor values that lot at, the next door neighbor will be able to buy that lot so they could expand their property if that's what they want to do. And the city will give those folks whatever the tax assessor says the property is worth. You could take off $875 because that's, according to the city, that's how much it costs to cut the grass at that lot for a year. Again, blighted properties are an issue. They're a problem here in the city of New Orleans. So they're thinking this is a way that they can get the next door neighbors of these blighted lots, they can get them to expand their own property, and it'll probably be at a really good price. You know, the way I look at this is, anything to get rid of blighted properties in New Orleans is a good thing, but this is an opportunity only for the people who live next door to these properties. It's like you can't come in from out of town and do this. They want the people who live next door to do this. I mean, there are a few different ways you could look at this. I'm sure if you're facetious, you could think, hey, this is a way that the city doesn't have to pay to maintain these lots. And the reason why the city owns them, Coleman, is because people who owned the property before didn't pay their taxes or whatever the case may be and just left. And now there's a blighted lot there, and they want the next door neighbors to be able to expand the property that they already own. And this way, and they're taking care of it as well. I asked you to text us. What do you think about this?
Double M says assessment value will increase the following year, and you will be able to pay. You will be forced to pay that value and not today's value.
Well, hold on. And I see where you're coming from, Texter. Although I think that they're going to get a good deal on this. Because again, it's blighted property. It's a blighted lot that someone has taken care of, has cleaned up, has maintained, has cut the grass. And, you know, whatever the tax assessor values it at, I'm sure it's going to be a decent deal. You would have to think. I mean, how else are they going to sell these blighted lots?
Carp and Slidell says, free labor for the city and then they get money? Why can't I keep it for a year and then they give it to me? They're double dipping, getting work and getting paid.
That's a good point. I wonder if the city has gone to people who live next door to these vacant lots and said, "What do you want to buy the lot? We'll give you a good deal on the lot next door to you." I wonder if they've already done that.
All right. LA2 says, $875 sounds like lawn care only. It won't raise the value any. Michael says, all the city is doing is trying to increase the value. Billy says, if I'm going to keep it up before I buy it, when I do buy it, I better get a real deal. Otherwise, it's stupid.
Well, that's the only thing I'm thinking of, Coleman, is if you're going to invest a year in cutting the grass at this vacant lot next to your house. And I'm sure the people that live next door to these vacant lots, they want them cleaned up too. But now the city's giving them an opportunity to purchase the blighted lot. If they take care of it for 1 year, they have to give them a very, very, very good deal. That's what I'm thinking from what that last texter said. That's the only thing going through my head, is they have to be getting a very, very good deal.
Kelly says, I suspect the maintenance year is to increase the property value so that the city can maximize its profit. Officer Martin says, it sounds like a scam to me. The city can get out of work. And that's what it seems like to me. It just seems like the city's trying to find an easy way for them not having to use resources to keep up these blighted. Because a year was a long time. Imagine you're trying to keep up something for a year and like in 10 months something happens, you can't maintain it anymore. And then I'm thinking about, what if you don't have your own lawn care equipment and you do pay somebody to keep up the lawn? Are they, like, can they get some of that action too, since you hire a lawn care service to maintain a property for you? Or since you pay the, since you're the one that signed the papers and you paid a lawn care service and you didn't do any work, or you like, there's so many intricacies about it where to me it just seems more logical for them to just sell you the blighted property as is, and then you have the incentive to keep it up, because now if you don't keep it up, then city code enforcement is going to come charge you.
Well, that's check. Why I wondered if they've already gone to the people who live next door, the homeowners who live next door to these vacant lots, these blighted lots. I wonder if they've already offered them, look, we'll give you a great deal because the city owns these now. We'll give you a great deal on the blighted lot next door to you, and now you got to take care of it. But we'll give you a great deal on it.
Well, Chris has a good. He says, think about it. You don't really mow all year, and that's true too. Like during the winter, the colder seasons, you don't necessarily have to keep up the maintenance of the lawn because the lawn doesn't grow. And Matt says, I think incentives need to be better. That's my take on it. I get what they're trying to do, but I just think the process is convoluted and overly complicated for no reason.
Yeah, I just wonder if they've gone to the next door neighbors of all of these lots, because those are the only people who are able to do this, the people that live next door. I wonder if they've already gone to them and made them an offer. Maybe they made them an offer they could refuse, and that's why they did. And now they're doing this. I mean, you could also wonder, Coleman, why not just let the people who maintain the lot for a year have the lot for free and clear after that? They'll still have to pay taxes on that property once they are property owners.
I agree with that. You know, that's anything better than just the idea that you have to maintain something before you actually own it. That's the part that bothers me. You know, I don't like the idea of I have to put in work before I'm able to claim it as my own.
But if you get a really, really, really good deal
anything could happen to me in a year. I can get lung cancer or something. There's so much that can happen within a year. If I'm going to put work into something, I need it now, then I'll put the work in afterwards if you're going to sell it to me.
But I don't know, Coleman, I know for a fact where you live on the West Bank, because you've told me this.
Mm-hmm.
I know for a fact the thing you hate doing the most at your house is cutting your grass.
Oh, I hate it, yes.
So I don't know, when we started talking about this, I should have said, don't listen to anything Coleman has to say, because he hates cutting his grass so much that his opinion might be a little bit askew here.
Oh, it's very biased. And I've been glad for the rain the past few days, because it gives me an excuse not to cut the grass.
Well, we'll see how many of these next door neighbors to blighted lots here in New Orleans want to try to take advantage of this. If it is a really good deal, they got to put in a year's worth of work. They got to cut the grass for a year, and then if they maintain it like that, then the city will sell them the blighted lot next door to their own property for, it's got to be a great deal. It has to be a great deal.
Imagine taking care of a lot for 11 months, then something crazy happens, like you blow your knee out, and you have to go to the hospital, now you can't maintain it for that one last month.
Oh, you didn't do it all 12 months, you only did it 11 months.
Oh, that was sorry.
By the way, thanks for cutting the grass for us. Saved us some money, according to the city. Very interesting. We will keep an eye on this, and we will follow up on this story. I want to see how many homeowners that live next door to these lots take advantage of this, see if they can get a good deal to expand to double the property that they own. All right, hey, coming up on the show, thank you for the text. We always appreciate it, and you can always text us at 260-9595, and if it's good, we'll read it on the show. Coming up, something pretty unspeakable recently happened at a girls' high school basketball game. Wait till you hear and see this. We'll tell you all about it coming up next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Former NASCAR driver Danica Patrick, she had a very public romantic breakup with Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers. But I was just reading, it looks like her personal life is on the mend, as former NASCAR driver Danica Patrick and her new boyfriend, entrepreneur Carter Comstock, are getting serious. He doesn't seem to mind that she's been around the track a few times. On Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
Today's John Osterlin show is pre-recorded.
Deshaun Watson wants out of Houston. And I said, you know, the Saints should trade whatever they want. You know, draft picks. I know if they wanted Alvin Kamara. I know I did say that. But to get Deshaun Watson to play quarterback here for the next several years would be pretty much priceless. And I don't want to trade Alvin Kamara, but if that's what it would have taken to get Deshaun Watson here, or Russell Wilson from Seattle, because the Saints were on his small list of teams that he said he'd be traded to, then okay, so be it. Quarterback is by far the most important player on the field. But then, look what's happened over the last month or so in Houston with Deshaun Watson. A bunch of different women, masseuses, many of them, have come forward saying that while they were doing their job, giving a professional massage to the Houston Texans quarterback, he sexually assaulted them. And now there's like over 20 women?
22, I believe.
He's saying that this is a cash grab. But he obviously, you would think, Coleman, has some sort of an issue with female massage therapists. You would think by following this. And by the way, Nike dropped him. That's a big deal. When he was one of Nike's guys, they dropped him, and now the NFL is thinking about suspending him. And so, you know, when I said the Saints should trade whoever Houston wants to them to get Deshaun Watson, that was before we knew about all of these different female massage therapists saying that they have an issue with Deshaun Watson.
I believe both parties. I believe that some of the masseuses probably were sexually assaulted by Deshaun Watson, and I also believe that the masseuses are looking for a cash grab. I believe both.
That's what Deshaun Watson is saying.
Yeah. They would rather get paid for Deshaun Watson assaulted him than see Deshaun Watson actually go to jail for what he's done.
Well, that's when this first made news, I said, how come none of them went to the police? That's what I was wondering when this first happened.
If you're a masseuse and a person assaults you or sexually harasses you in the middle of you doing the massage, and you call the police and they come in and arrest the guy, you don't get paid for that. They just go straight to jail. You can't sue them after that and say, I want damages or emotional stress and all that. They go straight to jail, and that's it.
Well, Deshaun Watson is now saying that these women are looking for money. A majority of these women all have the same lawyer. And we don't know if Deshaun Watson is going to be suspended by the NFL or not. You would think they would have to until these charges get cleared up, right?
If they get cleared up, we'll see what happens. Ray Marrero wants you to know, not Watson, John, he would not be good for the locker room.
Well, we had never heard one negative thing about this guy until a couple of months ago, whenever the first massage therapist said Deshaun Watson touched me with his penis, because I remember when we did that story, you know, I said, why didn't she go to the cops? I mean, if Deshaun Watson touched me with his penis, I'd call the cops.
Then you wouldn't get paid.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
But that's also a good point. You're not hearing from any teammates. You're not hearing from any staffs about Deshaun Watson. Only people you're hearing from is Deshaun Watson and the masseuses and the lawyers. Usually when there's a big profile story like this, people will come out like, man, he didn't seem like a good guy to me. Or some people will come out, yeah, he does seem like a great guy. I didn't see this one coming. But for this one, everyone seems to be silent about their opinion. It's only Deshaun Watson's side and the masseuses' side.
But before this story with the masseuses, we never heard anything negative about Deshaun Watson. Never. So,
if he gets this cleared up, would you still like him to play for New Orleans, John?
He's a great quarterback, and he's young. He's going to be playing for a very, very long time if he clears up this mess. But there's obviously an issue with him and female masseuses.
Yeah, there's a pattern there, yep.
He doesn't go to male masseuses. There are no men, male masseuses suing him.
Right, and most sports teams have their own physician that they can use, like their own little sports
guy. They got their own masseuses.
Yeah, they have their own masseuses. So why didn't he use his own one if he needed them that bad? He had to go to these females.
I have a feeling he's going to settle this, write these women a check. Checks. and hopefully get back to playing, because he's a fun quarterback to watch. He's an exciting young quarterback, but this is obviously an issue. And so you're thinking, Coleman, he's probably there's some guilt here, but these women, they want to get paid.
Right. That's exactly what I believe.
We'll see how this straightens out. Hey, coming up next, I'm going to tell you about something awful that happened at a recent high school girls basketball game. I can't believe this happened. I'm blaming one of the high school coaches. We're going to tell you about it, and you're going to be able to see it. That's coming up next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. I just put a video on the Bayou Facebook page of something awful that just happened at a girls' high school basketball game. It was up in Indiana. It's an AAU travel girls basketball game, meaning girls' high school teams traveled to Indiana to play in this tournament. And at one of these games, the coach of one of the high school teams pulled her team off the court because she didn't agree with the referee. And after that happened, a fan comes out of the stands and he's video recording the referee. He gets right in his face, gets right next to him. And then the referee hauls off and hits the fan. And then the fan body slams the referee. And then all hell breaks loose. Complete insanity. And, you know, they're trying to shut this video down because we tried putting this video on our website, Bayou957.com, like we put all kinds of videos that we think you would be interested in seeing, and it's not letting us put it on our website, but I was able to share it to our Facebook page. So check out the video when you get a second. It's unbelievable that this is a high school girls basketball game that this is happening at. And Coleman, in my opinion, it's the coach of the team who pulled her. Remember, this is high school girls basketball. She pulled their team off the court because she didn't agree with the referee. And that is wrong for her to do that. What kind of message is that sending to your high school girls basketball team that if you don't like a call or you don't like something that the referee did, that you're going to pull your team off the court and start walking into the locker room? That is not a message to send kids.
But with that being said, when it comes to the brawl itself, that's clearly the referee's fault. The referee struck first. So although, yeah, it sends a bad message that instead of just going to, you know, finishing the game, or you didn't like the call of the referee, you pulled the students out, saying we're not going to finish this game, even if you believe it's for the right reasons, it just shows that you're a quitter. I get that. But when the referee smacked the guy, or the, I don't know whether it's a guy or a girl, when the referee smacked that fan, tried to smack the cell phone, that started the brawl. So when it comes to the violence, I put that on the ref, because the referee struck first.
Okay, I'll give you that. But it would have never gotten to that point if the high school coach didn't pull her girls off the court because she didn't like a call that the referee made or a call that the referee didn't make. She didn't agree with the referee, so she pulls her team off the floor and they start walking towards the locker room. See, again, that is not the right message to send to your high school players. There's going to be games where there's going to be some calls you don't agree with. That's not what you do. That's not how you handle it.
Yeah, but also smacking the cell phone out of somebody's face,
yeah,
isn't the way you handle it.
After that, the referee yeah. was wrong for throwing the first smack at the spectator, whoever it was, who was down on the court right next to him, video recording him with a cell phone. And then after that, that's the spectator picks up the referee and then body slams the referee. Wasn't sure if it was a high school girls basketball game or professional wrestling we were watching right there. But we've got that video for you on our radio station's Facebook page. Go check it out. My God. Over a girls' high school basketball game, this happened. And it just makes you ask, what in God's name is wrong with these adults for acting like this at a girls' high school basketball game?
Well, I've noticed when it comes to like Little League games that you go to, the parents get way more involved than the children.
You see it a lot.
Like the parents are way more invested. The parents are way more into it and more emotional than the kids. The kids are just there kind of like, yeah, I guess. But the parents get so into it. The super dads come out. The soccer moms come out. You know, they start yelling and screaming. Worse than they start getting into the coaches' faces. Coaches start striking. So it's really the parents overall.
Look, we all want what's best for our kids. But when parents get involved at Little League baseball games with umpires, at high school basketball games, like we just saw here, with referees, that's not in the best interest of your kids.
Steven says, how much crap does someone have to take? If someone comes running up and puts a camera in your face and you feel threatened, you should be able to defend yourself. Yeah, you should be able to defend yourself if you're attacked, but having a camera in your face isn't threatening to you. It shouldn't be, at least, right? If somebody held the camera to my face, I could say, would you please remove the camera from my face? I understand that I'm annoyed. You know, I'm getting annoyed.
Or walk away.
But just to all out and smack. If the dude with the camera phone hit the referee first and the referee hit back, that would be justified. But it seems like the referee was heated as well. Yeah, get that camera in my face and smack. So the referee started the violence. But I do believe that the coach leaving, like telling the team to come on and forfeiting the game, that was kind of a punk move.
You don't do that. See, the referee thing would have never happened if the girls' high school basketball coach said, okay, I don't like that call, but let's go out there and let's play tough. You know, that's such is life. You know, sports is a metaphor for life. Not everything's going to go your way. You're going to get knocked down. You got to get up and you go continue to battle. You don't pull your high school team off the court because you disagreed with the referee.
But that's no excuse for violence.
No, it's not an excuse for violence, Coleman, but that's sending the wrong message to your team. You know, in life, all calls aren't going to go your way. Things aren't going to go right for you all the time. This isn't how you handle it, by quitting, by walking off and quitting. No, you get knocked down in life. You get knocked down in a basketball game. You get back up and you keep moving forward. That's what you do.
And don't smack people that put cameras in your faces even after that. Like I said, when it comes to the violence, I put it strictly on a referee.
All right, go check out that video on our radio station's Facebook page, on the Bayou 95.7 Facebook page. Coming up, I got the dumbest thing I read all morning, and that's not it. And also, we've got a See Who Died coming up next. A pretty historic one as well. Stay tuned for those reports here on Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. See Who Died? The oldest living American has died. Hester Ford of Charlotte, North Carolina, just died. There's a little bit of controversy. Her family says she's 116. Or was 116. But some records say she was 115 and 245 days.
Oh, give them a few days.
You want to round it up?
Yeah, give it a 116.
Her family says she was born August 15th, 1904. That would make her 116 years old. But whether she's 116 or 115 in 245 days, either one of those still made her the oldest living American. And she was until this past weekend when she died. She had 12 children. Many, many grandchildren. Many, many, many great-grandchildren. We're in the triple digits now of great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren. But they said she was a great woman. And there's something that seems to be cursed about that title, the oldest living American. But she's not the oldest woman in the world. The world's oldest person is a Japanese person, Kane Tanaka, who is 118 years old. Damn it, we got to catch Japan there.
You ever notice that every time one of these people over 100 dies, everyone has great reviews about the person? You never hear about somebody over 100 being a complete D-bag.
Like, that SOB?
Yeah, you'll never. Oh, I'm glad he's gone, that 120-year-old fool. Like, they always say, you know, they were a great person. So I guess when you get past 100, you automatically become the most awesome person alive at the time.
Well, you hear that about most people who died. Most people, you know, you won't hear people saying the negative things about that person when they die. It's always, oh, yeah, you know, we're all human. What a great person. But, well, now, the oldest living American is a woman. It's always a woman. It's never a man because women outlive men. Thelma Sutcliffe of Nebraska was born in 1906. And so that Nebraska resident is now the oldest living American. But RIP to the woman who was the oldest living American until a couple of days ago this past weekend. RIP to Hester Ford. And, boy, that'd be some title to have, huh? The oldest living American. Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. And it comes from a Florida woman, not a Florida man, a Florida woman this time. And a video that she says shows something that's prehistoric. Stay tuned for that coming up next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only. Classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And it's that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Woman believes she saw a small dinosaur running through her yard. And she lives in Florida. Her name is Christina Ryan. And a couple of nights ago, she, on her porch video camera saw a small animal run through her yard. She took the video, which we now have on our website, Bayou957.com, and she put it on her social media. And she told everybody that could read what she was saying that that was a small dinosaur. She says, quote, any animal we can come up with that would be walking at 3:40 in the morning wouldn't walk this way.
Walk this way!
Maybe I've watched Jurassic Park too many times, but I see a raptor or other small dinosaur. Now, this is only a 5-second video, and again, you could watch it on our website at Bayou957.com. Coleman, that's a small animal, but I think it's safe to say it's not a small dinosaur.
Yes. All right. So when I first saw the headline, and it was like, okay, this Florida woman thought she saw a baby dinosaur. I was like, ha, ha, ha. I can't wait to see this raccoon or this cat. And this Florida woman is clearly just being Florida, right? But after seeing the video, I can completely understand how somebody from Florida can mistake whatever this is as a dinosaur. Now, do I know what it is? I have no clue. It does look like a dinosaur from the back. It looks like a baby. It does look like a baby dinosaur, but I'm smart enough to know that it's not. But I give them their Florida curve. I grade them on the curve. So I can completely see why she would say this is a baby dinosaur.
You know, Coleman, if this thing started flying all of a sudden, or just rose like a helicopter, or, you know, then I might believe her. Then I might think that that's a small dinosaur.
Well, they say dinosaurs did evolve into birds.
But I'm watching this thing walk across her yard. I can't identify it. I don't know exactly what it is.
But what does it look like to you?
Well, first and foremost, there are several things in Florida none of us can identify. Well, it's got a tail. It's on four legs. It's kind of skinny. It's very skinny.
See, I saw two legs. You saw four? I only saw two legs.
Hang on. I'm watching it again here. Well, I just...
It looks like it has two legs, and it looks like it has a reptilian-type tail. It doesn't have a fluffy tail like a raccoon or a cat or a dog.
Now, the thing's walking on four legs, Coleman.
Maybe I'm tripping.
You know, what's interesting is... This is a discussion that a lot of people aren't having, because as soon as they see the words Florida woman, and then after that it says, think she saw a dinosaur, small dinosaur in her yard. Most people end after Florida woman, just like most people end a lot of stories after the headline says Florida man. They won't go any farther after that, because all of the things we've seen from these people over the last few years. Well, anyways, this woman is convinced. And then when she did put it on social media, a few of the comments underneath her video, one person wrote, looks like a Komodo dragon or some type of lizard.
But Komodo dragons don't move that fast.
Lizards don't move that fast either.
AJ says, after watching the video, I think it's a peacock.
Some other person wrote, thank you, AJ, for that text. Some other person wrote, unless Fred Flintstone lost control of Dino, that's someone's pet on a leash.
This text said, dude, it's a fox.
Hang on. Again, it's only 5-second video.
Yeah, even though the video is 5 seconds.
It could very well be a fox, Texter.
Yeah, even though the video is 5 seconds, the actual thing running across takes about 2 seconds. That's how fast it was moving. Dan from Boston says, as a reptile breeder, I would say this is a monitor lizard, which is the same family as a Komodo dragon. I've never seen a Komodo dragon move that quickly and swiftly. It would, or maybe they do move that fast. I don't know. I'm not a reptile breeder.
Although, you know, we're used to seeing small lizards. There was a video, remember, Coleman, about a week ago, a week and a half ago, we put on the Bayou Facebook page. It was a giant lizard that was crawling up of a grocery store.
That was a Komodo dragon.
It was climbing up a grocery store shelves, And that was either in Taiwan or Chalmette. It was one or the other. I believe it was Taiwan. But I had never seen a lizard that big before, but that thing was moving pretty fast. So this could very well be a lizard. I wish it flew. Because if it flew, then the person who lived at this property in Florida and the person whose video this came from, then she might be onto something. But it didn't fly. It just it hurried across her yard. Again, if you want to check out the video, it's right there on our website at bayou957.com. The Florida woman who believes she saw a small dinosaur running through her yard, and that video recording of it, that's the dumbest thing I read all morning.
Think about that. That's just dumb.
And go check out the video and see for yourself. It's only a 5-second video. Everybody's got time for that. And it's on our website right now at bayou957.com.